This is February 22nd, 1987, Albuquerque, New Mexico. And I'd like to take a moment to answer a question that people have been asking about our summer workshops. Right now, we have the meditation workshop scheduled, and none other as yet. The meditation intensive of the summer will be held in Taos on June 6th and 7th. Please do not consider attending this workshop unless you feel comfortable with seated meditation rounds of 30 minutes each. There will be a sweat lodge and dinner Saturday night in conjunction with this workshop. Accommodations will be on the Mesa Friday and Saturday if you wish, dormitory style. The cost is $150 for the weekend. If you would like to attend, please send a $50 deposit to me, Joy Franklin, P.O. Box 2996, Taos 87571. And now, good morning, Mary Margaret.
Those of you who have been planning on going to Japan with us, I don't think we're going to be able to go because we had to have 30 in order to go. So instead, we have created a tour to Hawaii. Those of you who know me know that that was where I began this life anyway. The focus of the tour will be to use the knowledge of the huna or the kahuna, whichever you prefer, which is the knowledge of how to connect with the higher self in order to make your life work. It's a powerful energy and it's very much alive in the mountains, valleys, and waterfalls in Hawaii. It will be on July 2nd, beginning and end about 12 days later. The price is, don't hold us to this, as close to $1,500 as we can get it. We're only taking 30. So if you want to come to Hawaii, you know, Hawaii is a difference. Half of it's Club Med, you know, and that's there and we can't hide it. But the other is free access to our own bus to be able to go to the mountains and the valleys and the power spots of Hawaii and to make good use of what's there. Those of you who know Bartholomew know that one of his main aims is to do what he can to break the separation. And you also know the prophecy that Hawaii is going to be the place where East and West blend so that the New Age can really be ushered in. So we'd like to go and do what we can to usher.
All right.
So if they're interested, oh yeah, so if you're interested, come up and see Justin after the meeting. And that's all for me. Well then, good morning.
Good morning.
I would like to just give you once again a new model of consciousness. The reason for this is if you have a new model located strongly in your mind, you will be able to greatly increase your own self-realization. By this, I simply mean that when you use as many parts of your awareness as you have available, you help yourself tremendously to come to a point of inner light, clarity, wisdom, and totality. Now, one of the realms that is very difficult for most of you is the realm of relationship. And I believe this is difficult because you do not really know what it is that is going on when you are trying to relate. Is this true? So, I think this would be a fair way to spend the morning. However, those of you who choose to return next month, I would like, please, some questions. If you could bring some questions and hand them to these lovely ladies who are around here as you come in. And I would like to deal with some of your questions. I think I've been very windy up here lately, and I'd like some of you to participate. So please, if you have questions, either hand them to us this afternoon or, if you will, next month. All right, now, a new model of relationship is not new at all. It's what's always been going on. It's simply something I ask you to deeply embed in your consciousness. First, rule number one, you are a vortex of energy, constantly in motion, propelled by events, energies, sounds, colors, everything that you have no visual contact with. You do, at the same time, have an opportunity to begin to feel those energies if you would only choose to do so. So the model is simple. You are a vortex of power, and everyone else is also the same. A moving, expanding, contracting bundle of wonder, constantly in motion, constantly fed by springs and streams and winds that you know not where they come from. When two or more are gathered together, we have then a combination. We do not simply have one energy field in motion, we now have more. And it greatly increases the complexity, if you want to think in terms of things being complex, but it also greatly increases the potential. And that is what I want to dwell on today, is the potential when two or more are gathered together. This is one of the oldest statements made from the beginning of man's growth for consciousness. When two or more are gathered together, something magic happens. And what is it? And this is what we would like to then display for you today. One way of talking about who and what you are is to visualize yourself as a goblet. You see, the symbols are all very deeply there, embedded in all of your old traditions. It's simply that they have become perhaps a little too literal. So we have a goblet, and it is rather how you do appear psychically. You have this wonderful openness within that is filled with various moving parts and wonders. And the other energy field presents itself exactly in the same way. Now, the great difficulty is that you cannot connect up with the golden wonder of each other. Because if you could, there would be nothing but peace and harmony on this earth. Do you understand? It is an absolute truth that if even for a few moments you could really touch and see and feel and know that elixir of wonder in the other goblet as well as in your own, there would be no war. It would be ended. All of this would be ended. The separation and the ideals of separation would be gone. So then what is it that we could say is this outer covering that keeps this elixir from being conscious and alive and aware in your own mind? And my friends, I will not surprise you when I say it is guilt. It is guilt. Now, in the beginning time, in the very, very beginning time, you had one rule, and it was very simple. We have talked about it. It was the rule then, and it is the rule now. To live harmlessly. To live so that you harm no one. So that the only thing that motivates anything that you speak or think or do comes out of that wellspring that says, I will only do that which is harmless. All other is not for me to do. And out of that early time of that ability to really feel and touch what was harmless, to be able to put your own momentary desire aside because harmlessness was your God, you were able to do it again and yet again and yet again. And in those moments, you could see clearly. You saw each other clearly. You can talk about it as the days when the great titans walked the earth, and you were able to see things with wonder and beauty and see each other in that perfect clarity. But as things happened, various rules and regulations, which you now call religions, began to be built up. And as soon as religion began to arise, there did arise at the same time, now we have rules. And once you realized it had been so simple to just live harmlessly, now you had many, many other things to concern yourselves with. And in so doing, you kept remembering that whatever it is that you were doing is now no longer good enough. Just to be harmless is now not good enough. You have a long array, and it got very specific. Certain kinds of food, certain kinds of clothing. Do you understand? I'm being very specific. And so in this attempt to continue to keep yourself in this connection with the God self, the high part of your consciousness, confusion took place, and the minute guilt entered, you became afraid to open up the channel to what you would perhaps call the divine high self of who you are. Do you see? The moment guilt came into your awareness, there arose in you a fear. Now we are afraid of God. I've told you before, those of you who have been with me these many years, many of you are afraid of God. And I don't blame you, because the God that you have been described isn't worth much. I have been to many places in and out of the createdness, and I have never found anything that even vaguely resembles this God that has been created in the minds of man on this earth plane. So be aware that that is simply a projection out of the minds of men. Just not like that at all. But nevertheless, there remains in you, deeply embedded in the cellular remembrance of your whole beingness, this idea that if you don't measure up, that you're going to be destroyed. And if you're not going to be destroyed, then you go to this wonderful other place called purgatory, which sounds far worse than being totally annihilated. But there's this middle ground where you go if you're sort of bad and sort of good or something. And there you stay until somehow something magical happens to you and you are no longer in such jeopardy and they release you to, I don't know, what else, something. All right. Now, all I'm trying to point out here is this is a very frightening view of God consciousness. And many of you are no longer actively, truly trying to open up your channel. You are not really trying, because there is this ongoing fear that if you do open it up, you will only find that you're not loved. Can you imagine how it must feel inside of your consciousness to know that there is an almighty, wondrous God, and at the same time to know that it can be angry at you? I mean, look at the mess your lives are in because mommy gets mad at you or daddy. But what happens if God gets mad at you on top of this? You see, all of those fears project themselves out 1,000 times greater and fear and trepidation. So what you're doing to yourselves is this. You have the back door open. You pray, you meditate, you do your best, but all the time you're saying, don't let it happen, don't let it happen, don't let it happen. I really don't want to know if you're there, God. I really don't. Do you understand? If you really were being honest, you would realize there's a deep part of you that responds in just that way. Now, given the dilemma, what is the solution? There are a great many human beings on this earth plane, as we have witnessed here today. There are lots of you. And you have also been told that the greatest friends that you have are each other. That this wonderful array of human consciousness is the greatest gift you have each for the other, if you use it correctly. All right? So we have to go back to our diagram of relationship. Each time you open your mouth, each time you use your eyes, which you do constantly, to connect and contact others, each time you use your body in any way, you are doing one of two things. You are adding to the fear in the world and the guilt, or you are not. When you remember the very basic statement that you are incredible, dynamic, alive, light, wonder, and God power encased in an envelope of flesh. When you remember that over and over again and add to it the work we did last month, which was the awareness that there is an opening, if you will, between you and it. You remember that there is an opening that is open on your side and on the other side, just to turn your mind to it, where this awareness floods in and out and in and out. By keeping alive the knowledge that that God consciousness that you are seeking is constantly entering you, constantly. Making all of the changes and the adjustments, rubbing out the darkness and enlightening and emblazing the wonder. If you will just hold that in your mind as an ongoing knowledge of who you absolutely are and forget the rest of it, please understand. You do not help yourself by dwelling on your darkness. You do not. Now, you also do not say, oh dear God, please make my sickness well. You hear that? You are saying two things. One, that you are sick, and two, that you wish to become well. Now, what you have to learn is the necessity to send absolutely clear messages to the deep self. The deep self has been waiting with tremendous patience for a long time to hear some very clear messages. What do you want? What do you want? If you begin to know what you want with clarity, this is why when we go on the tours, the main job is to be clear, what do you want? Nothing fuzzy. Because if you send a fuzzy thought, oh, I'm sick, make me well, the deep self hears two things, sick and well. You know, they're not as good at linguistics as some of you are. It's a little different. Has to be very, very clear. So this deep self, which is an energy vortex, just waiting to be quickened in whatever way you choose to quicken it, just waits in eternal patience for you to quicken it in its deepest way for your own behalf. And you do it by constantly keeping alive in your awareness, this is what I want. This, and be specific. This is why I take you over and over again. I know you must be bored. But over and over again, we go through it again, over and over. What exactly is it that you want? What exactly are you? Who are you? What are you? You are energy. You are me, over and over. And that is to remind you with an intensity of fullness that this is how you free yourself from the illusion of what you could call the lower self. These are just words, please. But let us just use it. The lower self has a tremendous belief that you are this linear, wonderful, limited, often ill, often unhappy, poor little worm walking over the globe in some kind of chaotic pattern, you know not where, you know not what. Oh dear God, deliver me from this life as soon as possible. You know? That's what the low self says. And each time you open your mouth, you either increase everyone else's belief in the low self, their own low self, or you do something quite different. You begin because now you are generating on your own behalf that power. You know, they call it many, many things. In Hawaii, it's mana, it's prana, it's wherever. You know, there's always a word. It's to generate this power within that uses itself as the rocket fuel to push. And it pushes out the top, and the enlightenment comes in, and you are in a state of enlightenment because light is in you. And you simply do it by again and again and again saying, declaring with your being, the light is here. I am light. I am love. I am that. It's not a hope. It's not, dear God, let me be loving. Dear God, let me be loving. No, please. It's the statement that comes deeply out of the being that this is who you are. And the more that you enunciate this clearly to the deep self in terms that it can readily absorb and understand, the openings will begin on their own. You cannot do anything to stop it if you just begin to generate within you the frequency of remembrance of who you are. And do you know there's not one of you in this room that cannot do it? There is not one of you in this room that need to worry about enlightenment in this lifetime? Not one. Not one. Not one. Please, don't believe the stories. You know, they say, oh, 1 in 10 million will reach enlightenment. That is not my observation. And you know, one of my jobs, as you'll find out as you start dying, you know, is one of... One of my delightful jobs is, as you start slipping out of this old flesh, I'm there and saying, well, where do you want to go? What have you learned? What do you want to do? What is it that your heart most wants? And we kind of hang out in some wonderful space and flow back and forth. You giving, me receiving, getting the impression of where it is that you really want to go. Where do you really want to go? Where does your heart's desire really lie? And in that motion back and forth, there comes a knowing, this is the place. And together, we go. Those of you who don't believe in me, you don't need to, because there are lots of me's. And I assure you, the moment that you slip out of this physical form, and are really on your way, there will come a form that you recognize so clearly with such delight and love and beauty and power that you will say, I trust you. I will go anywhere you take me because I trust you. You see? But you don't have to worry about that. You can't build that trust here. It's already in you. You will only be sent the messenger that totally reflects that which you know to be the highest in your soul. And in that moment, figuratively, because there, of course, are no hands, figuratively, you put your hand in the hand of your friend, and you go. The greatest help that you can give to yourself is to remember on an ongoing, continuously accelerated power that you are light, that you are love, that you are exploding creation, that you are limitless, that you are harmless, that you are all the things that you yearn so much to be. You could not yearn to be them if you were not already them. Please understand that. None of you sit around praying to become a purple hippopotamus. I could almost wager that. Is that not true? And it is because it is not possible. And even if you could, probably not worth your time. But because you yearn for the things you do yearn for, you yearn for love, and you project it out in relationship and say, I want someone to love me. That isn't true at all. What you want to do is to build within this wonderful vessel of your beingness so much power of your own love, unspecified love, just the feeling of love in motion within you, that it begins to be such a quickening that it becomes like the elixir that you begin to feel that it's possible to really, truly love all of the creativeness. And it comes out of starting now. There is nothing magical about enlightenment. Nothing. The light is in there, waiting to explode. The light is out here, waiting to join with what's in. And the only thing that stands between is what we discussed already, which is the chalice itself. The chalice is filled, and outside of it is equally filled. But it is that structure of guilt between that keeps the light from quickening you, allowing you to quicken it so that it lives you, so that you simply live, and it lives you. In a way that is totally beyond speech. Any words I would give would be a waste of your time. It is a quickening of the totality of everything, and it is worth everything to achieve. It is not hard to do. You just begin this day. Your job is to begin to build so much power, so much prana, so much internal power that you literally break through the barrier of guilt and allow yourself to re-experience the connection with the one God. Do you understand? It's not that you have to be good. It's you have to stop believing that you're bad. And you simply do that by experiencing the wonder of who you are. Now listen, if you will begin every day to sit with your own energy field, remembering all of these wonderful things that I've said that you truly are, and you begin to dare to tell yourself that this is what you are, if you do this ongoing, every day, ongoing, you will begin to quicken that source so strongly that you will feel it. I mean, feel it with a tangibleness that no longer puts anything in question. But you see, you have been taught. How about this one? You walk into your mother or your father and you say, oh, I'm so smart. Don't be arrogant. Don't be arrogant. Now go to your room. All right? You look in the mirror. Oh, mommy, aren't I beautiful? That's arrogant. I'll go clean the bathroom. At a very early age, when children begin to express through their physical mouth the wonder that they're feeling within themselves because they're not cut off, because they still feel it, and they know themselves to be delightful, wondrous, amazing things, but the discouragement committee comes in very early to discourage you from who you really are and to remind you of who you're not. You see, there is a new term in psychology. I'm going to try and get it right. You come dysfunctional, right? I have heard in my work now with people that some of you are dysfunctional. You come from dysfunctional families. Well, I have some very important news for you. You all come from dysfunctional families. And I will tell you why. Every family that you have come from doesn't know who they are. They have provided you with an idea of who you are that is not true. They, out of their own confusion and illusion, have projected onto you the same confusion. All of the families are dysfunctional. You can split it up into degrees if you wish, but I see it only one way. You either know who you are or you don't. Until you know who you are, you will be dysfunctional. Not in any kind of obvious way, but inside of your being. You will wake up every morning and you will say, I want more. This isn't enough. I don't want to think about the things that I did yesterday that hurt. I don't want that. I want to feel love in me for everything. I want to live with power and wonder and beauty and vision. I want to be filled with vision. I want to be a visionary for myself and for others. Until that moment that you break through that web of guilt, you will be dysfunctioning in some way or other. I mean this with all of the love that I have to say. The only thing that is keeping you from totally knowing is the grid work of your own belief of who you are not. I will tell you again who you are. You are total love, total divine power activated. You are a symphony of color and sound past the wildest imaginings of your physical body. You are filled with the ability to see into the vast reaches of the vastness. You are filled with the ability to feel the thunder of the source constantly in your physical body, illuminating your mind and your heart. That is who you are. Anything short of that is a lie. Anything short of that is a lie. And I beg you to stop perpetuating the lie. You, as your birthright, have the ability to break open the blockage of guilt and to experience yourself totally. You cannot shovel out the darkness. It will take forever. And you know the best way to get a room filled with light is just open the window. And the light will do what it must. And the job is to do it all the time. When someone is saying something to you, you are this, or you have failed, or whatever it might be, instead of participating in the lie, become very still within and remember. And bring back into activated power, that which you're seeking. Activate it. In the face of any of your own dismal thoughts, and you know there are many dismal thoughts that run your life, moment after moment. In the midst of all of those dismal thoughts, stop it. Stop it. Do not try to be perfect. You're never going to make it. Do you understand? You cannot be perfect in the physical body because the physical body sees things as separated. It's not going to work. But out of the growing of this wonderful power within, this rocket fuel, then you can then explode out of the dream. You know, all the great ones have said, wake up. Wake up. Wake up. And what wakes you up? Power. Light. Wonder. God knowledge. In a relationship, what you see is a bouncing off of the illusion of who the other person is. Do you understand? We're talking now again of the goblet. And when you look at someone else, what you see coming back at you most of the time is a reflection shining off of the goblet itself and not allowing you into the depths to really see. So what then is the way? You're always in relationship. I'm not talking about love affairs. They're a small part of relationship. I'm talking about life. I'm talking about relating to everyone you ever see. Every moment of your day, when you are in the presence of another wonder like yourself, you have the option to increase your opportunity for enlightenment or to leave it at a standstill. And if you decide to increase your thundering godness within, moment by moment, infusing your own vision with it, when you look at the other person, if you would just make a slight switch and keep remembering, this is the light. This is the light. This is the light. What happens then is you increase your voltage, and as you know, you release out into the atmosphere around you energy in motion. In the same instant, you activate to whatever extent that other person allows you their own remembrance to. Do you understand? You are the mirrors each for the other. And if you will just continue onward and onward all of the time, as much as you can be incredibly helpful. Why is an enlightened one helpful? The only reason they're helpful is they look at you and they start to laugh and say, you really believe that? You really believe that's who you are? You really believe in those limitations? Do you really? If you have a teacher that scolds you, get a new teacher. Did you hear me? If you have a teacher that scolds you, get another one. Because anyone who does not see that you are perfect, wonder, alive, amazing, God manifesting, hasn't had the full experience of enlightenment. So be careful. Don't be scolded. You've been scolded enough. And you scold yourself endlessly. So please, to hear, get someone who just says, I see you're playing a game. You go ahead and play, but I know who you are. Go ahead. I know. I know. You want to know who you are? Come, I'll tell you. Come, I'll tell you. I'll tell you. And in the telling, you will remember. That's what a guru, that's what they've always been, a real teacher. It's been nothing other than to remind you, yes, I know you think it this way, but it's not so. This is who you are. This, my beloved, is who you are. And you are beloved. Exactly as you are beloved. And out of that wonder of increasing power, you mirror them back for each other a million times over and over the remembrance. It isn't difficult. What you have to give up, and please hear this, what you have to give up is what the low self loves best, which is, I want to be right. The low self, if you want to call it this way, adores being right. Because being right means, if I'm right, then I'm all right. A play on words, but it necessarily is true. If I am right, then somehow I am all right. Do you understand? And that makes you feel, for a moment, more secure. So be watchful. Because the only question that ever arises when you're dealing with the vast self is this. Are you willing to lay down everything else? Everything else in order to reflect the truth. And the truth is, in the presence of each other, there is never anything real other than the light and the love and the power and the total amazement of who you all really are. every time you help your brother or your sister, you have helped yourself. It cannot be other than that. And so I ask you, those of you who really do want light in the mind, in the heart, to move you in everything that you do, begin in this simple way. Remember. Just remember. Don't forget. Whatever else is going on, don't forget. Do what you have to do. Don't forget. And each time you remember, you are building a concrete substance. And this is where I will close. I want you to hear this. It is a concrete substance. It is not an idea. Building a prana or mana, whatever you want to call it, in the body is not an idea. It is real. And it is built in great force when you turn your mind to the building of it. And that is always in your capabilities. If you're lying in bed sick, forget about being sick. Build the prana. If you're in terrible emotion, forget about the emotion and build the prana. Do you understand? Just do it all the time and be very clear on what you're doing. The deep self is absolutely present to help. So the message has to be clear. You send it out. This is what I want. This is who I am. And in so doing, it begins to build. And it begins to feel like rocket fuel. I love the rockets because they're very close to how it feels. Do you know when you see them on this universal mandala of the television, you hear the bills and bills, and all of a sudden it goes, it just seems to lift. But look at the tremendous energy necessary for the liftoff, and that's what you're doing. My friend, there's nothing new outside that isn't inside. And that's the building of the rocket fuel, and you do it by your own sweet remembrance. Now, you do it now, or you do it later, but you will do it. You will do it. Because a very deep part of human consciousness is an incredible longing to be free. I have used these 9 years the word freedom because it best reflects the feeling of breaking loose from the chain of the illusion and breaking out into the vastness and the dropping off of the heaviness and the knowing of who you are. There is nothing I can say to convey it. I just beg you to try it. The more moments that you build this rocket fuel within you will determine the moment of your freedom. And it happens just like that. You lift off and you lift out. You're no longer encased. You know. You know you. You know it all. It's done. You know that you are God, always have been, could never be anything else. And in that wondrous moment, you know that everything that you've ever sought, you now have. But in a way totally unknown to you until that moment. It is the only thing that I think is worth doing in your life, is to build the power so that you can know. I thank you for your patience and your listening. And in order to help build that power, we would like to have a meditation. Those of you who wish to go, please do. But I have a personal favor to ask this morning. A very beloved friend of mine, Louisa Aiken, needs some rocket fuel. And so those of you that know and love her, as part of our meditation this morning, I ask, please, that you see her in perfect, total wonder, alive, beautiful, healed, expanded.